This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
We're going streaking! Yes! Come on, everybody! Come on! Snoop! Snoop-a-loop! Snoop! No, it's cool. I'm cool.
Man, put the music back on. Let's get the party back cracking up in there, man.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn ready.
Oh, I got the news.
I mean, how can you not be in a good mood listening to that? I needed that one this afternoon. Anyways, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I have to thank you first and foremost for taking any amount of time out of your day to sit, come chill with me, talk about whatever it is we talk about here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do 100% from the bottom of my heart greatly appreciate that. I'm trying to get pumped up for this one because this is the culmination of a lot of work, a personal journey. Like I made a conscious decision this year that I was going to be consistent. I was going to put out a podcast episode every week of the year, not miss a week, not have to, you know, build up an audience, lose it, and try to get them back and that kind of thing. And this is the final episode of that year. I've made it. I actually missed like the first week of the year and then dropped like two episodes the following week to kind of make up for it. But other than that, I haven't missed a week despite crazy shit happening, breaking an arm, emergency room visits, whatever it was. I found a way to get back in here and do an episode. So I'm feeling very proud and accomplished with that. And that's what that's not all that today's episode is going to be about. Of course, it's holiday season. I hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas holiday and hope you got interesting plans for your New Year's. I don't, but fuck ever. Like, who cares? And then there's going to be some other things. I wanted to shout out a very important individual in this episode, and just I'm gonna shout him out, and I'm gonna make a lot of fun of him at the same time. But that's the relationship that we have, so I believe it's cool. So we got some things planned for this episode. We're gonna start out the way we normally start out with the Chef Elise update.
Out of Pepe.
I had the luxury this year. I've had her 2 weekends in a row. I had her, last weekend for a little bit of an extended period of time, got a short little break, and then I had her for Christmas. I picked her up. She was dropped off, Thursday afternoon, and then I had her Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, and she went back, with mom. The end of the day, I guess, Christmas Day. But, yeah, we had a good time. I took her. It's always a struggle to try to find, activities for us to do and things like I always want to tap in with her and make sure she can see that what she's interested in or what she thinks is exciting or important. Dad is all for it. I'm all about it, and I'm interested in it too. Let's go. So one of her favorite animated films from whenever it came out was Sing, and then Sing 2 came out this week. So when I knew I was gonna have her and the movie was out, let's go hit a movie. So that's what we did. We went, Thursday night, we went to go see Sing 2. I'm trying to It's crazy because I when I say that, I feel like I have to put out some sort of disclaimer or kind of like justify myself, because with everything going on right now, like going to the movies with a child, doesn't seem like the responsible thing to do almost. And it's weird here in Texas, you know, this is Texas and this is Austin. So Austin is like, I don't know, that's like the family member nobody talks about in Texas. Like if all of Texas is going one way, Austin seems to be going the other way. And so this is a weird place to be in right now. Like there's very much the Texas freedom. You can't tell us what to do. Can't take our guns. You know, they took our job. Like there's very much that kind of sentiment here. And it's also kind of like the anti of that. And we need to be responsible and care about the people around us. And so there's that weird sort of dichotomy that plays here. And like going to the movies, you know, you see that at one point the movie theaters were not like selling all the tickets, all the seats. You know, so you would go to a movie, the movie theater would be open, but you would go and, you know, they were selling the seats in a way that, you know, you were spaced out. And they're not doing that anymore. And so, yeah, we went, and I mean, it's too much of an ask to me to ask a 6-year-old to sit in a movie theater with her mask on for 2 hours or however long, you know, the movie goes for. And so, you know, we weren't mad. And I don't know. I'm doing all that because I feel some kind of way. But I did it anyway, and now I feel like I gotta, like, when I tell people the story, I gotta justify it for some reason. But yeah, that happened. But it was at the end of the day, it was a dope movie. We did have a little situation, and this is the second time this has happened to me down here. And this plugs into one of the things I kind of did want to talk about, because my mom and I had a conversation about it too. It's just like this, I don't know, I grew up with, and I think it's like a Black thing, I grew up with this not wanting to make waves kind of feeling. Like, you know, I don't want to complain. I don't want to ask for too much. I don't want to, you know, like if I can go someplace and just you not even realize that I'm there. Like I go, I have my experience and I come home and like I don't impact anybody else in that time frame. Like that's ideal for me. And I think that's kind of the, you know, stay meek, stay hidden, stay under the radar. You don't want people, you don't want attention, because attention usually comes with consequences. I think that's where that comes from. And it could just be I'm just shy and introvert and avoid confrontation. It could be all of those things. But this is the second time I've gone to a movie theater, and all the movie theaters here have assigned seating. And I get there and there's somebody in my seats. And I think the first time it happened to me, big homie Chad was with me, so I had a white guy with me. And he decided we're not going to make an issue out of this. Like, I don't think he wanted to sit in the front row, and the people that were sitting in our seats kind of pushed us to where the only place we could sit was the front row. And he was like, ah, fuck it, we just going, I'm cool with sitting there if you cool with sitting there. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to make a scene, so of course I was cool with it. This time around, it's me and my daughter. We get there and there's some people in the seats, and there's other seats there, and I'm assuming that the whole thing hasn't been sold out. So I'm like, we're just gonna move someplace else. And then you get like situated with your 6-year-old, and you got all kinds of popcorn and stuff, and you gotta get her situated and comfortable. And they got the reclining seats, she's got her feet up, and we chilling. And it got down to like right before the actual main attraction was gonna start. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm tense the whole time. So I'm like, these are not our seats. But somebody's in our seats, and I'm not trying to have that conversation, but I'm also not trying to be the Black guy in somebody else's seats. I feel like I'm, like, perpetuating the stereotype somehow in that situation. So I'm on, you know, I'm on eggshells the whole time, pins and needles, whatever you want to call it. And, like, we get down to the lights go low, just a couple of, you know, trailers and stuff being played. So I'm like, all right, we safe, we cool. And then I see him coming. Like, I see the whole, it's a whole group, whole family coming in. I'm like, these are their seats. So of course they get up to us, and it's like, I think you're sitting in our seats. And I'm like, ah, you know, and then I do the dumb shit like, cause our seats are actually blah, 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 you know, the ones behind us, but somebody's sitting in our seats. But I'm like, that wasn't her concern at all. Like, why was I giving her that information? It meant nothing to her. I'm just trying to let her know that I didn't just steal their seats. Somebody stole my seats, and then your seats got stolen. I don't know, collateral damage, whatever you want. You know, I don't know. But that was the thing. We got, and it was like a granny or something, and her grandchild, I guess, in the seats that we were supposed to be in. And so, you know, it was a whole weird thing of like talking to her in the dark. And she can't, like, the reason she sat there is because she doesn't understand where her seats were. And there were no, like, ushers or anything like that in the theater, which I guess is the big part about it. The fuck is the ushers? What happened to customer service? But it was no, like, ushers or anything in the theater. So I had to help the old lady, like, find her actual seats so we could sit down. And so now I feel like I have made myself way more of a presence than I ever want to be publicly when I'm out. Like, the people that, whose seats I was sitting in, know who I am. This lady now, I've had to have an interaction with her personally. The whole theater is probably aware of this because we're the only people standing up, talking, and moving around like right before the movie comes on. Like, it was not a great start to my movie experience with Chef Elise. But fortunately, the movie, I think, was pretty good. I like music. My daughter seems to be heavy into it. She got a new favorite song, which is fucking growing on me. It's kind of awesome.
Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Yeah, that joint kind of go. It do kind of go. I've been playing it a lot, hold on.
Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation. Manipulate my decisions, baby.
That relationship sounds toxic as hell. I need to watch my daughter with that one. But if you don't listen to the words, it's a dope song. Hey, tear out my reputation, manipulate it like that. Nah, homie. You bad place. But anyway, other than that, the movie was great. Good music. My daughter enjoyed it. We had a good Christmas. So I did what my mom used to do with us growing up. My mom is very religious. And she... like, she didn't want to rob her children of the Santa Claus experience, but at the same time, like, Christmas is supposed to be Jesus' birthday, which we know it isn't. Please don't hit me with all the, it's a pagan, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we know, we get it. Just take the day off and have fun. But yeah, my mom wanted to separate the two, so we always open gifts on Christmas Eve. Like, Christmas Eve was for Santa Claus, and Christmas Day was for Jesus. That's how it was structured for us. And I knew that, you know, she was going to be going back to her mom Christmas Day. And you don't want to, like, start off a morning with kids playing with toys and, like, all right, hurry up, clean everything up because we got to get you ready to go. So we did our stuff Christmas Eve. And I got her, you know, again, like, trying to show that, like, I'm into what she's into. I don't even think she knows I have a podcast. I don't think she's aware of, like, what a podcast is or what dad does in his spare time. She knows I have, like, you know, this recording equipment up in the office, and, you know, she will come and play with the mixer and, like, push buttons and, you know, play songs. I'll set up some of the touch pads and stuff to, like, play children's songs, and she can just pick a button and play what she wants to play. So she knows that kind of stuff. But other than that, I don't think she's aware that, like, I'm a content creator, if I can assume that title. But she is, like, heavy into it. She watches all these unboxing videos and videos of people playing with toys and slime and all that. And so she wants to be like, she always wants to make, you know, YouTube videos. If she's around me, she's like, hey, dad, you know, can I, you know, let's make a video. I want to make a commercial. You know, she wants to do it. So I bought her one of these little cameras. It's called like a kids creator camera or something. It came with a green screen. And she sat down. She sat down and did the CBS News. Like, her first video with her little creator camera and the green screen was set up the green screen behind her. It put up like the weather report. And she was like the weather person for her first video. And she was like, yeah, this is CBS News, blah, blah, blah. And she did a hell of a job, you know, quite a forecast. I think she was pretty accurate. I'm very proud of Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
But yeah, you know, we did that. I bought her an annoying gift that her mom's probably going to hate me for. She requested it. We stopped at a toy store after the movie. And I felt some kind of way about the offering I had to give her in terms of gifts. It's bad parenting, horrible. I think I bought all the stuff at the same time, so I gave her too much of it for her birthday, so I didn't have a lot left for Christmas. And so we stopped at the toy store, and I was like, man, pick out something, it'll be your last gift. And she picked out this little yapping chihuahua. Like, it is the most annoying toy. If real chihuahuas weren't annoying enough, this little, like, fake electronic chihuahua is just, oh, that's going to drive them crazy. I apologize when I saw him. I apologize in advance. Because that thing it's going to be hell on earth. Hopefully they figure out how to take the batteries out and hide them. And, you know, maybe they can say he died, hold him, put him in a shoebox. I don't know what they're going to do with this thing. She wanted it. Dad wasn't going to say no. I bought it. But yeah, that was pretty much it. We had a good time. We had a few real poignant father-daughter moments. She wouldn't let me take any pictures, though. She's really sick of Dad and the pictures. I bought that new camera. And so I've been going out of control with the camera and the photos, and she was kind of sick of it. So I don't have like Christmas photos or anything like that, but we had a good time. That's the Chef Elise update.
Out of Pepe.
So yeah, so getting into what the episode is going to be about. I made it through the year. You know, the streak is intact. I guess the streak is coming to an end because I will take a break after this episode. I'm gonna take a break. It'll probably only be like 1 or 2 weeks tops. And I'm trying to build towards some new things for the new year for the show. So I'll probably be in that time, like prepping that stuff and trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. And working on increasing the production quality of the show. I want it to be more of a, of a thing, like more of something that it seems like somebody took some time to put together and put out there. Like right now, I make the show on like Sunday nights before they go up Monday, and I think you can tell. I'm trying to get past that. I'm trying to make it more of a thing. We'll see. I got plans. But yeah, this year has been, it's been an interesting year. It's been a good year. And I have to say, one of the things I guess I'm taking from this year is just the relationships that I've built. And I've done shows about my mom. I've done shows about Elise. I've done shows about, whoever. My brother from back home has had a couple shows dedicated to him. I've done shows with a lot of people. I have not done a show specifically yet for this one individual. And today, he's going to get his show. I'm dedicating the rest of this show to the homie, Big Bad motherfucking Chad. Because that's my homie. That's my homie for real. And I haven't really gone into like the dumb shit that we do. And I'm gonna make fun of him in this show. I am. Cause that's what we do. That's what dudes do to each other. Like that's the way we show affection, is we're gonna make fun of you. But yeah, he's, you know, I've talked about Chad, you know, throughout the year when things happen. That's my emergency point of contact. You know, I had Thanksgiving dinner with him and his family, which was quite the experience out on the property. We were roommates together in a sober living environment. And then when I moved out on my own, like, you know, the difficult part about moving out was not like being on my own or having to be responsible for myself, like paying all the bills and all that stuff. It was just the solitude. Like for people who deal with these kind of issues, like not having a consistent connection with other human beings is a real problem. And me going from an environment where there were like, you know, four other dudes around, you know, at almost all times that understood what I was dealing with. And, you know, and we never, our conversations were never all about like addiction or substance abuse or alcoholism or whatever. Our conversations was just about like dude shit, like just watching a football game together or talking about fucked up relationships or food or whatever it is we talk about. But just having that consistent connection was a big deal. And so when I moved out, and I knew I wasn't going to have that. The homie Chad has been there. Like we get together, you know, we get together almost every weekend. Right now, you know, when Elise is around, you know, he'll go places with me with Elise, you know, to, you know, take her to indoor playgrounds and stuff like that. We've gone to the movies. You know, and then when Elise is not around, we'll hit up. We have a habit of hitting up restaurants. Like we'll just, you know, we like to eat good. We'll find a decent place to eat and, you know, go back and forth fighting with who's going to pay the bill. You know, it's always one of those, you know, who's going to one up the other and sneak and get the bill paid without the other person knowing, who can get the big bill, who can get the small bills. You know, we don't always go someplace nice, and sometimes there's other people there. So it's like, who going to, you know, yeah, are you going to get all the little $50 dinners, or are you going to take the $200 dinner every once in a while? Or how's this shit going to work? But that's my homie. That's my brother. And And we had some interesting conversations that I think like people would love eye in on. I had once said, and I got a lot of trouble for, that my mother is the most racist person that I know. I know this is setting it up to sound like I'm about to say Chad is the most racist person that I know, which would be horrible, but he's not. I am the most racist. I'm extremely racist. And I say that in a humorous way. Like I don't have any ill feelings toward people, and I don't want to do something or harm a person or deny a person something because of their ethnicity. But I do think like the differences between us are hilarious, and that if we talked about them and we didn't try to make it seem like they don't exist, we'd be in a better place. If we asked the questions that we want to ask and just had the conversations that we want to have, instead of trying to like hide these feelings and pretend like everybody's the same. Everybody's equal, but everybody's not the same. We're different. And it's not just ethnically, we're just different in general. And if we could just have the conversations about what I think is different or weird about you, and what you think is different or weird about me without getting offended, then we could eliminate a lot of shit. And me and Chad had them conversations. Like I was able to, he invited me to Thanksgiving dinner because he knew I was going to find Thanksgiving dinner with his wife, his white Texas family, hilarious. And that's why he invited me. Like, that's why he brought me out there. And kudos to my homie for that. But yeah, so he hit me like on Christmas Eve. I brought all this up. Like, I had the idea to do it because like a couple things happened between me and him over the last like 3 days that just encapsulate the kind of fucked up relationship that we have. So he hit me like on Christmas Eve, and he asked me what the acronym, this is the actual, I'm reading the messages verbatim, I got them up, I get the text. Hey yo, what's the acronym for those black colleges and what does it stand for? I'm using my black phone to friend feature. So I'm like, all right, I got it. So I hit him back, you know, HBCU stands for historically black colleges and universities. And he was like, man, now I feel a little dumb. I didn't realize it was that literal. You know, and what he means by that is, I was the first person to expose him to HNIC. Like, you know, I can't go into it because I'll be giving up, you know, too much of my personal business. But he had never heard HNIC before, didn't know what it stood for. And I think I'm also the first person to expose him to CP time. These are things that you don't realize the rest of the world may or may not be aware of. I thought everybody understood what CP time was because we have our other roommate, Zaya Fitness. He's a young dude. He's probably notoriously late because he's a young dude, and young people just be young and they don't care about punctuality and shit like that. And I just was explaining to Chad that, you know, sometimes you got to account for CP time. And now he does it, and it's fucking annoying. Like, he'll tell people that shit starts like an hour before it starts because he knows people not going to get there to an hour late. And so, but that's the whole CP time. And so he didn't know what HNIC was. And if you don't know what it is, which I'm sure you do if you listen to the show, but head nigga in charge. I probably was referring to myself as the HNIC at some point, and that's how the conversation started. So I'm sure when he saw HBCU, he was like, oh shit, I can't imagine what this shit stand for. Let me phone a black friend and see what it is. And to find out it was just like historically black colleges and universities. I think that was a letdown. It was like, it sounded like a bank, man. He didn't tell me what it was he was looking for, but after he was like, I didn't realize it was that literal. I'm like, I know exactly what you was thinking. I know you was waiting for like something crazy. Like, I can't even think of what HBCU could stand for that would have helped him out. But yeah, like we had that conversation. And then the conversation just devolved. Cause this is how racially insensitive I am. And so, the conversation devolved into whether or not white students were allowed to attend HBCUs. And it hit me, like it caught me for a second. Cause I was like, oh shit, I'm not 100% sure of this answer. Like, I believe in my heart of hearts that white kids go to HBCUs. I don't think we would ever, like, I don't think that would help our cause at all. Or we would do it to create an organization that like white people was banned from. But I don't want to say, hell yeah, white people can go to HBCUs and then find out it's different. And so I got paused for a second. And I had to look it up. I Googled it. And the first article that I came across was about this. It's an article about the inside the lives of white students at historically black colleges. So I sent that to him. Like, phew. All right, look, there's a whole article about it. Like, yeah, white kids go to HBCUs. And here, I didn't even read the article. I was like, but here's an article about it. And he hit me back. Like, did you read that link? And so apparently whatever school they were talking about, it was a school in West Virginia. And at this HBCU in West Virginia, 65% of the student population is white. And again, my response to that was, damn, like, that's West Virginia. And I didn't even think West Virginia would have an HBCU. Growing up, I had a kid in West Virginia. I had a white girl in West Virginia that tried to touch me to see if the black would wipe off. So I really just didn't have high hopes for West Virginia. And like, they being a black, anything allowed to exist. It got worse from there. We got back into the Juicy Smouye stuff. We do a lot of racial draft conversations, and I've been trying to trade Juicy Smouye for the last couple weeks. I made an offer, you know, one for one for Justin Bieber, which got rejected. I also tried to get Miley Cyrus for him. He's telling me we just gonna have to take the cap hit, but it's got to be a package I can put together to unload Justice for Juicy. That was like our Christmas conversation. Then he hit me to show me what he got for Christmas, and it was like this, like a 65-inch TV. And he tried to send me the picture three times, and I'm thinking in my head like, dude, if the picture didn't go through the first time or the second time, like, why you need me to see this picture so bad? I'm like, dude, I got like a pack of Uno cards or something for Christmas. Like, I really don't want to see your 65-inch TV. Like, this is white privilege at its finest. Like, first world problems. Like, you know, he was like, I couldn't think of, because I think he got a TV for Christmas last year. And so I don't know how many TVs he now, these large TVs he now owns for no reason. And we both live in apartments. Like, in what world do you need two 60-plus inch TVs in an apartment? And he was like, I couldn't think of anything else to ask. I'm like, that's definitely a white problem. Definitely a white problem. I think I've been getting like phone cards and shit like that since I left high school. I can't imagine someone that I'm not having sex with buying me like a TV for Christmas. It does not compute. Ain't no level of friendship. He never getting a TV from me, I can tell you that much. I got something, I don't know, he's never getting a TV from me. Nothing that high dollar. So the fact that that's just like a trivial present for him, it couldn't have been trivial, because he tried to send me that picture three times. Like, why you want me to send it? I think he eventually like had his girlfriend take the picture and send it to me from her phone. That's how important it was that I see this 65-inch TV. He just wanted to fuck with me on Christmas. That's what we do. Man, there was another like podcast material moment that we had recently. I can't think of it, but that's, you know, I don't know. That's my homie. That's my brother. And if there's been anything that's helped me through this year to stay on the streak at times, it's been, you know, that I have a friend that's looking out for me, that, you know, make sure that I'm okay. You know, to just talk about shit or whatever, you know, just to, I don't know, shoot the shit with, you know. It's very important. I talked last week or maybe the week before that about another friend that I have, that all we do is text each other, you know, good morning every morning. But just knowing that there's a person that's expecting to get a text message from me, that there's a person that's thinking of me to send me a text message every morning, it can mean the world to people. It can really mean the world to people. Shout out to Chad, big homie Chad. In the new year, I'm trying to be a better friend. Trying to make as much fun of him as I do now. Big bad motherfucking Chad. My mom, I talk about him so much. My mom, and she's not racist. I'm the biggest racist. I'm the biggest racist, mama, not you. But I talk about Chad so much. My mom was like, you gotta send me a picture of Chad, because he sounds like a bubble. As I told Chad that. And I think we took a picture at my birthday party, and I sent it to her. And whatever. Like they downgraded the quality of the picture when I tried to text it to her. So when she got the picture, she was like, I couldn't really make him out. I couldn't really see what he looked like, but he got the outline of a Bubba. So whatever the Bubba's outline is, Chad has that. So if that helps clarify the picture for you people who have no idea who any of these folks I'm talking about are, just imagine somebody with the outline of a Bubba. Hopefully that makes it clear. That's all I got this week. I wanted to get this episode out to say I finished the streak. I want to thank everybody for their support. I look at the numbers and the growth that the podcast has had this year. It's been amazing. And I really, you know, I just can't thank y'all enough. I appreciate your support. I appreciate y'all rocking with me. And and rock with Zaya Fitness at livealphafitness.com for your nutrition and health goals. I'm going to make these quick. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, ttcharities.org, hit them up. You know, like, share, retweet, or repost all goes a long way. Donate what you can. And what is tws.com/store. You can get all your hoodies, t-shirts, all that. I got some dope merch that I collab with somebody with that'll be dropping like New Year's. I'm saying that I'm doing it on New Year's. I'm saying it, so it's going to happen. We'll be ready for that. Right now, coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESDN. We get you 20% off your order. But yeah, if you like what you heard here today, please subscribe. Leave me a review, a like, or whatever. If you didn't like it, leave me a review. Let me know what you didn't like so I can fix it or not give a fuck. Well, either way, it all goes to a good place. Whatever. But yeah, with that being said, I hope y'all had a great year. I hope much happiness and success to you in the new year. Invest in yourself. Don't be cheap. That's where being cheap goes wrong when you're investing in yourself. Go ahead and make the investment. But until we speak again, be safe. Be light, be easy, and know this, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. Might realize it later.
Love.